Survivors of the long-shuttered Huronia Regional Center gathered Sunday for the first Mother's Day memorial in 4 years to both support the accomplishments gained by survivors and their allies as well as a way to honor the more than 2,000 people who, it is estimated, were laid to rest at the facility's cemetery. In the midst of the event, alongside a stunning memorial sculpture now surrounded by new granite benches and an accessible walkway, a sundog rainbow appeared in the sky overhead. One bench is engraved with, "If these walls could talk," celebrating the lives some survivors have managed to lead since leaving HRC. The second reads, "Remember every name," in honor of those who perished at the facility, many of whom are buried with numbered markers in the sprawling cemetery along Memorial Avenue. Many survivors, supporters and allies participated in the planting of perennials into the worked soil and, one by one, survivors told their story, some describing the abuses they endured, before talking about the lives they've since managed to live. "I should not have been here, and I think many of you here should not have been here as well," Jack White, who spent his childhood at the Aurelia facility for developmentally disabled children which closed in 2009, told the small gathering. "Keep fighting, keep the spirit going. This was not a facility for people, it was a drop-off center for people they gave up on." Many paid tribute to Maurice Lark and Patricia Seth as well as their supporters, Marilyn and Jim Dolmage, who helped drive the class action that finally brought recognition to some of the atrocities that occurred over several decades at the residential facility. Debbie Vernon found herself advocating for former HRC residents when three of the women asked for her help in filing their application as part of the class action, which was eventually settled. Vernon, now a Bracebridge municipal councillor, had worked at HRC for a short time in the late 1970s for a year. When the Muskoka Region Center closed, she found herself working again at the HRC, this time for about 6 years, as a residential staff member until she was deemed surplus in 1999. "I knew what conditions were like and I knew how the residents were treated," said Vernon, who felt compelled to further support survivors. While HRC closed in 2009, the vast Aurelia property along Lake Simcoe is maintained and is partially used by the provincial government. There is an on-site cemetery, but there were numbers on many of the grave markers instead of names. That prompted a move to encourage the proper identification of those buried there, which resulted in the Remember Every Name website, an exhaustive clearinghouse of information related to the HRC. Brian Logie has made the trek back to Aurelia from his home in Campbellford many times, but declared that this would be his last. "I'm not coming back," he declared, wanting to put those nearly 4 years of abuses in the 1960s in his past. Pat Casey, her partner Doyle Moyer and her brother, Tom Titus, came to the cemetery Sunday on what would have been their mother's 100th birthday and stumbled across the activities. Growing up, they knew very little about their older brother, Timothy Siddle, who lived at HRC from 1946 to 1957, dying at the age of 15. After their mother died, they set out in search of information, which included accessing his records. "After my mom passed away, we decided to come up here," explained Casey. The two then created a marker with his name and had it placed next to the numbered marker at his gravesite. Teresa Flaherty came from Ottawa with her daughter Sunday to honor her brother Eddie, who lived at HRC for 7 years until the year before it closed. While he came home frequently, he was nonverbal. The Flahertys thought he was in a good place and didn't learn about the horrible stories until the class action was launched. The survivors and their allies pledged to continue to talk about and gather to ensure an awful chapter in Ontario's history is not forgotten.